Today on The Breakdown, some of you are old enough to recognize this sound. Wah, 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 wah. Right? You know what I'm talking about. It's the $6 million man sound when he would run because he was so fast that he went slow and he made that weird sound. That's right. Well, Adrian Mateos and Ben Heath are looking to become $1 million men. In this tournament, it's a 75K buy-in. That's right. That all related. It's a 75K buy-in and there's only 12 left. First place is well over $1 million. I believe it's $1.45 million even. This is a Triton high roller event, baby. And Adrian Mateos is going to take a strange and aggressive line, and Ben Heath is going to try and British his way home. I don't know if he can do it. Adrian Mateos is Italian, I'm going to say. No, he's Spanish. He's not Spanish either. Really? Grant's giving me the no, he's not. He's something. Grant doesn't know, though. Grant's got to look it up. That makes me feel better already. He's not Spanish, huh? He is Spanish. Yeah, I knew it. Anyway, so will the British beat the Spanish for once ever? Will it happen? Here's a chance right now on The Breakdown in a big poker hand with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Will the British beat the Spain? Are you Tom Green?
Tom Green?
That sounds like a Tom Green line.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll take that as the compliment it is.
I mean, Tom Green, he had a moment.
I was a huge Tom Green guy during that moment, so yeah. I love Tom Green.
Well, he was different than anything that had come before, that's for sure.
I thought his stuff was so funny at the time. I had VHS tapes of the Tom Green Show and would rewatch them regularly with friends. Like, I had friends, we'd all rewatch them.
Do you think it would hold up in Jonathan Levy's mind?
I do not think so at all, actually. Not even a little bit is my guess.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because he was just being, like, extra weird, and it was just so out there at the time that it disrupted your consciousness to the point of you believing it was special.
It was also the beginning of sort of, like, Borat is a more sophisticated form of this humor, right? Where you go into a real person, you know, you interact with them, you're being sort of fictional, a fictionalized version. They're not. You're doing extreme behaviors, you're getting their reactions.
Yeah.
Tom Green only had, like, a relatively small repertoire of behaviors he could do, though. He had, like, 3 moves. Borat has like a million, or it's Ali G, which is really Sacha Baron Cohen. He's got a million moves, right? He can be all these different people and play it a million different ways. It's so like that's the much more put together version of Tom Green, right? Tom Green gets you the same kind of things every time. Really, Tom Green is just trying to get someone to like want to hit him. Like that's most of the Tom Green humor, which was funny to me when I was, you know, a much younger man. But I don't think I'd find it funny now. The other thing was I started at some point to think that Tom Green was doing this. A lot of his humor was they would find people who were just unhinged or had mental issues and would film those people and was sort of taking advantage of people at some point. And so it got less interesting to me.
I see. Yeah, I don't think I really ever watched the show.
Mm.
I think I did see Freddy Got Fingered.
I was going to bring up Freddy Got Fingered. I never saw that.
Don't think it was very good.
I've heard both it was one of the worst movies of all time, and also it's surprisingly good if you rewatch it. But I've never given it the time of day and don't plan on. Rip Torn is in it. I know that.
Yeah, it's probably not worth watching.
It doesn't feel like it's worth watching. I'll say that.
Tom Green. What a moment in history that was.
He was married to Drew Barrymore. How weird is that?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That's really strange.
You know? He was very famous for
a while. He was for a little while. I remember there was some point when he went on, like, it was the Emmys or something like the Emmys. I think it was the Emmys. And he had, like, a toaster or something, and he held it up, and he would yell, like, refrigerated, and the audience had to yell toaster, and he just did that back. He did that, like, 20 times in a row, and it was kind of funny, but I don't know why it was funny, you know? It's weird.
Was he the original random humor guy, maybe?
Maybe.
Like,
at least in my experience, maybe he was. He probably wasn't really.
Right? Yeah.
But it's strange.
Probably stole it from some British guy.
I mean, that just like Adrian Mateos.
Trying to steal from British Ben Heath.
That's right.
Have we ever done a Ben Heath hand before? It's surprising to me if we haven't, but I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure we have.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's usually the main characters, though. Usually there's like, he's like in the three-way, and he's like the guy mostly watching and filming. You know what I mean?
yeah, right.
Rather than like, you know, really getting in there and getting up in the business.
Well said.
Yeah, thanks.
I have another note on the opening.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can possibly be old enough to recognize the noise that you made. I'm pretty sure that's not the noise.
Oh, it's definitely not. As soon as I was making it, I was like, when I was saying, let's see if you can recognize it, I was like, how can I ever replicate that? Even now, I can't. It doesn't sound like anything. But do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Anyone could YouTube this really easily, and it's actually worth it because it's so weird. The way they would show him running fast or being strong is they would just slow everything down and then like make that sound while he was lifting something or running. And it was supposed to mean, you know, this is amazing.
So I have a question for you as a person of the era that would have been able to see that show when it was on, right? Or were you too?
I think it was in reruns for me, but still, it was on, you know, 4 o'clock.
Well, you have closer to firsthand knowledge than I do.
Of course.
Is that show just like a meme because it's such a goofy thing, or was it actually very popular? Or like, do people just reference it more frequently now than? Is it an outsized reference for its popularity due to it being goofy and kind of quotably weird?
I think the only thing about it, besides the weird sound thing, is the name.
Yeah.
It's kind of the kind of thing you can still use today to reference lots of things. Call someone the $6 million, like athletes were the $6 million man at some point when they were first making $6 million,
right?
You know, back in the day when that was a lot for an athlete. So like there's lots of opportunities to say that, which like who wants to be a millionaire is probably going to be a phrase that's going to be carried into the future much more so than something from Wheel of Fortune in the same way or some other game show.
Yeah.
So I think it's more that than anything else. It was sufficiently popular. I think it was on for like 3 or 4 seasons. There were toys and stuff like that. I think I had a $6 million man toy or an Oscar toy or something like that. But no, it wasn't a big deal. And by the way, I don't think it's like deeply in the consciousness now. It isn't much of a meme or anything.
No, but
now,
it's,
right?
I mean, I'm just asking if it's outsized in its reference, because being referenced at all, if it's only on for 4 seasons in like the early 70s or whatever.
I mean, I think Charlie's Angels has more references and was probably more popular. Though,
I mean, they had movies eventually, in the 90s because it was popular enough then.
Movies,
right?
In the 90s?
Yeah, there was a 90s Charlie's Angels movie.
Was that in the 90s? Yeah, with Mick G and the Lucy Liu, Drew Barrymore, Cameron
Diaz. Either early 2000s or 90s. Yeah.
That first one was really good, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah, it was great. Huh. Really fun. I mean, it's been forever. I saw it when it came out, but I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. Ben Heath, British.
Yeah, and that's why we're talking about Ben Heath.
Yeah, why do you think he's British?
I think it's more for him about the hair than about the look.
Right. That's what the British would say.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I just had this flash of when we would do podcast interviews. We were just talking about this before we started recording anyway, a little bit about like when our book came out, so we were on different podcast shows and stuff. And there's at least one or two where I was actively trying to derail the interview while I was going on. And then me saying things like what I just said with the hair, not the look or something like that. And I just like enjoyed that. And you would always like sort of give me looks and like sort of like tell me to stop as we were doing it. And it was just a really fun time to be alive.
It wasn't that I gave you looks and told you to stop. There was one time when after the thing, I was like, this is not our podcast. This is their podcast.
There was, who was the show where we went and I was like, Murderville or so. I did this whole thing on like, was it the Just Hands podcast maybe or something?
No,
like that?
I know what you're talking about and I don't remember which podcast
it was. It was two nice guys, whoever they were. Anyway, that was fun. That's great. So yeah, trying to derail other people's shows is a novelty to me because I only usually get to try and derail this show.
Right, of course. So invite us on your podcast for Jonathan to ruin it.
Don't be afraid of it. Embrace the chaos, man.
You should.
Yeah.
Just like Ben Heath does, because he's British.
And the hair.
And the British.
The hair is the chaos.
I never saw it that way, but that makes so much sense.
Thank you.
By the way, I take issue with you saying that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is going to have more future cultural references than Wheel of Fortune.
Like, I know. It wasn't a great thing.
I mean, because people are going to be saying, you got Sajak'd forever.
The thing is, Wheel of Fortune, of course, the name Wheel of Fortune comes from something that already existed, right? There was the Wheel of Fortune, right?
What
beforehand.
Is that?
Like at carnivals and stuff like that.
Oh,
you'd spin the Wheel of Fortune. And that's what this is called. That's based on that.
Okay.
You know, title-wise. Anyway, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire isn't based on anything, bro.
It's based on asking questions for money.
It's based on the Socratic method.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, it's basically the Socratic method. You teach them by asking them.
Yeah. And then they say, I want to be a millionaire. And you're like, yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. And then they know.
Yeah, and then you're like, that'll be $10, please.
Yeah. Give me $50 to get you started. Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have this poker hand.
Yeah.
Two gentlemen of poker, Adrian Mateos, Ben Heath. You know what there isn't with those two guys? Any cheating allegations.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Nope, not that I'm aware of either.
So good for them because everybody else has them.
Ben Heath actually famously played in the hand where Sam Sovereign folded too early, and he's the one who had the ace-queen suited and ultimately called.
Right, although that's not considered cheating. That's just an angle, right?
With Sam Sovereign?
Yeah.
Yes, that is and ultimately an angle. Well, I mean, he folded at a turn.
If you do
it was a little more. It was actually a little more than an angle.
I wonder if that counts as cheating. It's hard to say.
I think if you fold out of turn with your, it's all about intention, right? But if your intention is so that way, like everyone suspected, was so Ben Heath would know that he can call with his ace-queen suited, right? Because what happened, of course, is Sam Sovereign mid-opened the button, I think, or the cutoff with jack-nine suited. There was a shove for like 30 blinds or 27 blinds, and Ben Heath was in the big blind with ace-queen of hearts, I think, but ace-queen suited and wasn't sure what to do and was thinking for a long time. Then Sam throws out a time extension thing, which at the time does look like, well, you know, it was in the shape of a card, but still, it doesn't look like the cards. And Sam Sovereign admittedly wasn't, he did it really well if he was doing this, where then he folds and then he's like, oh, I thought you were folding your hand. And if he did it though with the intention of letting Ben Heath know that he was folding so Ben Heath could make the call, because that was going to slow him up, obviously, having Sam behind him, that I think that's cheating. I think that goes beyond an angle.
Yeah, maybe.
That's pretty close. Yeah,
it is close.
Yeah.
We need to fix these time extensions, by the way. Like, what shape should they be? Because they shouldn't be the shape of a card, and they shouldn't be the shape of a chip.
They can't be the they just have to be a garish color, really. Just something that doesn't look anything like.
Well, that helps. But it should probably be a different shape than any other representation. And it can't be a triangle either, because that means all in some cases.
They're mostly using, like, black things in the shape of cards now, but all black. And they don't really... It'd be hard to think those were cards unless you were doing the, like, I just saw it at the corner of my eye, which is what Sam Sovereign did, right? I mean, the other thing is now, like, you don't have to pay ahead of time. So you can, like... You know, you don't have to throw out one of those. You just wait, and then they charge you for it later anyway. So there's no real reason to pay it early. If you don't want to,
yeah.
Right? So that rule is good for something like this. But yes, it'd be nice if there was just, you could just say, I'd like another 30 seconds, please, you know, and then move on. Yeah. You don't have to say anything, though. You just get it.
Right.
Maybe the rule should just be like, you only get, like, if we just deduct it at the end, you never give them out. But people like to give them out in the middle because it's like, I don't know why, but they do that a lot.
Well, it helps you keep track of how many you have.
That's true.
I mean, that's kind of important.
Yeah. A garish color would probably do it. It's not like these things come up that often, by the way, now that it doesn't look like a chip anymore, right? When it looked like a chip, you could see that it was a huge problem.
Yeah.
That happened that one time with Bryn Kenny, right?
Yep.
And Jason Kuhn, I think. Where, of course, Jason Kuhn had the nuts, checked, Bryn Kenny bet. Jason Kuhn threw out the time extension chip. Bryn Kenny announced that he had an ace, which was top pair.
Right.
And then realized what he had done, and then Jason Kuhn moved in. Jason Kuhn did have the nuts. He was always moving in. And then Bryn Kenny's like, oh, no, now.
Yeah, we did that hand. That was pretty fascinating.
It was a great hand.
The implications of that happening made it really fascinating.
Yeah. So then they did change it to something that wasn't a chip looking. That feels like the biggest thing. Like, someone, like, accidentally thinks it's cards. Like, they're not really paying any attention.
Yeah.
Like, and hence why people don't really believe Sam Sovereign even, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we've talked about that,
yeah,
it's time for an all-Europe hand.
It's about time.
With Adrian Mateos.
This is the first time we've ever done two Europeans alone in a hand.
Right. We always have to throw in at least a Canadian to keep things safe.
Balanced.
Safe is what I like to say.
It's a charged word.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to trigger you. This was suggested by Casper.
Yes.
On Discord. Discord link in the description. Check it out. Click the link. Join the Discord server. We have a lot of fun there.
Casper, definitely an all Poker Guys first team player this year. Suggester this year. No question about it.
Always is.
Yep. Since he's been around.
Basically Luca.
All right. And of course, also is on the Mount Rushmore.
Of course.
Also a Hall of Famer, Mount Rushmore. But still putting up the numbers even this season.
It's like if Luka Doncic and Thomas Jefferson had a baby.
And named it
Casper.
Casper.
Yeah. It's exactly that.
Good.
Yeah. All right. And the solver work will be done by Wesley Cannon, and we're going to take a look at that after we do our analysis, come back and tell you what Wesley had to say.
One thing we do want to say is while Wesley and Danny do our solver work, the gauntlet has been thrown for potential other solvers out there as well.
Right. We don't want to load Wesley and Danny up forever.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in solver work and you want to do some solver work for us, it's really cool because you get to do what your passion is, which is solving hands, And we get to benefit too, and so does the audience. And the only way that this show works the way that it does where we have the solver work is when we have somebody else doing it. Because
if we know
the solver work ahead of time, it taints our analysis when we can't have it that way.
Screws it all up. So that's not happening. And it's the kind of thing where if you have to be good at solver work to be able to do this, but because you'll be getting a steady diet of interesting hands, it will probably help you to become a better poker player, quite frankly.
I would guess it would. So if you're interested in doing that, you can tweet at us. We're at Two Poker Guys, or you can come to the Discord and say it, and we'll send you a dummy hand to do solver work on, and we'll evaluate it and see if we want you to be
if
a solver.
It works. But of course, it pays nothing.
Yeah.
Except goodwill and the grateful thanks of a nation, Poker Guys listeners.
And, very minor fame, right? More people know the name Wesley Cannon
Absolutely.
And Danny Sprung than used to due to this solver work.
No question about it. Wesley had a run recently in an MSPT event, and the amount of people cheering for him on Discord, I think, was got to be a lot more because of the... Everyone's like, yeah, it's Wes.
Yeah, the solver guy.
Yeah, and us too. We were like, let's go.
Yeah.
You were railing him pretty hard.
I was following updates a little bit.
Yeah.
I was in South Dakota. I didn't go to South Dakota.
You're giving him the business.
Sure. The business.
Yeah.
Let's see if Adrian Mateos' business can work against British Ben Heath.
The Brit.
The Briton.
Ben the Brit Heath.
I kind of love that. I don't know if Adrian the Spaniard Mateos has the same.
Can't do it.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
No. Maybe he just needs a slightly more interesting name than that. Like, I'm not sure what that would be.
Jeff, the Spaniard Mateos.
So we're replacing his first name, not the nickname. I was thinking like Adrian Spanish Flair. We just call him Spanish Flair. You don't say his first and last name though. Just hey, it's Spanish Flair.
What if you just change one letter? Spanish Flame.
Well, that's more than one letter. F L A I R is what I was thinking. Not F L A R E.
I see.
Different kind of flair.
I see.
Flair like they have to wear in the restaurants.
Yeah,
on,
now I got
Office
you. Now I understand.
Yeah. But Spanish Flair the other way makes sense too.
Yeah. Spanish Flame.
Just change one letter. I think Flair is better.
Adrian the Spanish Flame Mateos.
It's not bad when you say it like that, actually.
Now try yours.
Adrian. No, it isn't that. It's just Spanish Flair is back in the house.
I'll try it with Spanish Flame.
Spanish Flame is on fire.
It's better, right?
Yeah, but that makes it worse.
That it's better?
Yeah. Like, it needs to be a little ironic. Like Napoleon Dynamite, part of the thing that makes it great is that it's not great.
Right.
See what I'm
and everything should be just like Napoleon Dynamite.
I mean, some things should be, though. And don't you think Adrian Mateos' nickname clearly fits into one of those categories?
Because he's got slightly like poofy hair, kind of like Napoleon Dynamite.
You are unbelievable. Everything you do is about people's appearance. It just goes right there. You and your materialistic.
Yep.
Type of thing you got going on.
Yeah, that's me.
Can it be about who they are as a person? That's what I'm talking about when I say Spanish Flair.
Who is Adrian Mateos as a person to you?
He loves bears.
Bears. Okay.
He loves pie.
Right.
He cares about women, children, and men. He cares about fruit. He cares about the environment. He cares
fruit.
About...
What do you mean when you say he cares about fruit? Let's dive into that.
What do I mean?
Yeah.
He cares about, like fruit. Like he cares about the fruit,
Like, what is it? Like to what extent? What's actionable?
Like if you said to him, do you want like fruit or should I throw it out? He's like, do not throw it out. I will eat it because I don't want you to throw it out.
Because I care about fruit.
Not if it was some other food, he'd be like, you can just toss that. So it's not about like preserving, food or anything like
it's
that.
It's just fruit specifically.
Yeah, no, he thinks fruit is extra special.
Does he care more about strawberries than raspberries? Or
that's
any?
A dumb question.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah. No, you're right. When I re-examine it, you are right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
As always.
I think he's more of a... He likes the yellow fruits the best. He cares most passionate about them.
Like
and I don't mean to eat.
Ah.
I mean, that's what he cares about.
Like bananas.
Bananas. Pineapple. Certain pears, perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe the right kind of an apple once in a
while.
Or
a mango.
A mango's a great example, Grant. Yeah. But a grape? A grape can go fuck off as far as he's concerned.
What about a white grape? That's basically yellow.
A white grape is not yellow.
It's like green.
Yeah, it's green. That's right.
Why is a white grape green?
There's a lot of questions if we really want to start asking these questions.
Yeah.
Do you really want to go there?
No.
Okay. Because, this has been done. This is not an original moment here.
That's
I'm about to say.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, but like the cereal grape nuts is neither nuts nor grapes. Why is it called that? A grapefruit is not the fruit of a grape. Why is it called? We could do this. But this is just someone's type five that I'm appropriating right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, how dare you?
I acknowledge this.
How dare you?
Many people's type.
Let's
five
get into why Ben Heath is so British by talking okay. about the hand.
Okay, it's the way he plays cards.
Yeah, 12 players remain in this 75K buy-in.
So we're creeping up on the money.
Yeah, everybody's been in this spot before. Every listener.
Yeah,
12 remaining within a 75K buy-in.
With yeah,
yeah,
and you're not yet in the money,
and you're playing against Adrian Mateos.
Yeah.
So yeah, the money is. It's kind of far away because it's eight remain, which feels like it's close, but it really that could take a long time.
You mean eight pay?
Eight pay, right, yes.
Yeah, no, that's a third of the field that's lost to go.
So I don't think these guys should be playing it like it's a bubble situation.
No
at all.
Way, no way.
Good. We're in agreement.
They're not going to. I'll just tell you that.
Oh, big surprise! Adrian yeah. Mateos is here. He's got 640K in his stack, 25K yep. big blind level. So he's the effective stack between the two. He's going to be in the small blind with 7-3 of hearts, and he's going to limp.
Okay.
Ben Heath has 1.3 million. In the big blind, he has 7-6 off. He's going to check.
Sure.
75K in the pot. Flop, because there's a 25K big blind ante. Flop, king of hearts, queen of clubs, 6 of spades. Mateos is going to bet 50 into 75. What do you think? 7-3 of hearts. He's got... I guess two back doors, but they're really not
very
good.
They are weak back doors. I think this is mostly about the fact that Ben doesn't have that many king highs, just, you know, pre-flop. Yeah. Like, he didn't flop that. He can have queen six. I guess he can have king six sometimes. He can have a few, you know, raggedy kings and queens. But, like, a lot of the kings are going to be raised. Some of the queens are going to be raised. Pocket sixes is a raise. There's not that much out there for Ben to have. Right. Mateos is the guy who's limping with stronger hands than Ben is checking back stronger
yes,
hands.
I agree with that. What surprises me about the bet is not that he made it, but the size he chose. He yeah. goes 2/3 of pot here. You could just,
Yes.
Mateos knows more than I know, but it feels to me that you could min bet here, which is 25K, and get the same results.
It wouldn't really occur to me to bet 50K here. I'm surprised he does too.
So what do you think the reasoning possibly could be? Let's try to explore that.
He wants to fold out the gutters also. He wants to make
9-10?
This clean and easy. Yeah.
I don't think you're folding out the gutters anyway.
I don't think you are either. When he's in position, Ben Heath is calling with the gutter to see what you do on the turn, right?
And that's the only gutter available, 9-10, right? Because like 9-10 suited even might be a raise sometimes, but ace-10, he's and ace-jack are going to get raised pre-flop really
for
a
sure,
lot.
Yeah. For sure.
So it's like really...
almost always.
I guess jack-9 and suited.
Yeah, there's not that much, but that's all I can think of because I don't know what else it could be. You don't think you're folding out a 6 for 50K?
No,
anyway.
You're never folding out a 6. You're never folding out a queen. You're never folding out a king. You're never holding out Jack 10.
If Ben has a bad ace high, he's probably calling once anyway, whether you make it 50K or 25.
And he doesn't have that many of those because he didn't raise preflop.
But he can have like ace 3 and,
he could.
And check back. For sure, he can have that. Ace 7 and check back. But he's probably calling that for 50K once anyway. Like a showdown ball hand is calling once, right? Like ace 3 and 7-6 aren't that wildly different from each other. One's got more equity than the other, but not a lot more. They're not that different.
Yeah, it feels like it's a mistake probably to bet this much.
It feels like that too. Maybe he knows that Ben is calling with a lot of hands if he gets min bet here and he's actually tightening up significantly on a 50K bet. Maybe he knows that.
Like any two back doors type of thing?
Yeah, and maybe even just floating a lot with anything because he's in position and he's Ben Heath. He's like, I can do this. It's fine.
I guess that might be.
And so, but 50K is just like, okay, I'm just not going to... Now it's too much.
Yeah.
It sounds dumb. It's only one more blind, but... I mean, still, like, you know, you've got to make decisions based on sizing.
Yeah.
You don't have to, but most people do, including myself, and including, apparently, Mateos thinks Ben Heath.
I think that's
the only guess I have.
That's probably the best we're going to come up with.
Yeah.
That's reasonable. And of course, this is not just, like, a random thing that Mateos is doing to make a mistake. This is a coordinated decision that he's making. He's Adrian freaking Mateos.
Yeah, of course. He's not just randomly doing
this. So there's something behind it, and it might be what you said. Heath, of course, is flop bottom pair, and you cannot fold in this spot pretty much against anybody, but definitely not against Adrian frickin' the Spanish flame Mateos over here.
Yeah, the Spanish flair.
Ben the Brit.
I mean, these nicknames are incredible.
They are.
Do you think these guys would wrestle if we asked?
Yes.
Not arm wrestle. I mean, wrestle. Like hardcore AEW type wrestling.
Yeah, like real life wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, where everybody knows it's real.
Yeah. Like, that'd be cool, right? Who would win in that? I know the answer.
Who?
Ben the Brit.
Of course.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Anyone whose nickname is the Brit always wins in any kind of pugilistic fucking encounter. That's guaranteed, right?
Because they're good at the bare-knuckle boxing.
Exactly. They're going to stand there with the thing and move back and have a handlebar mustache, you know, take their time, be gentlemanly, but also beat the crap out of you slowly but surely.
I've modernized the vision and removed the handlebar mustache, and I'm imagining Brad Pitt from Snatch.
Whoa.
There you
That's
go.
That's a very different look than what I was thinking.
Right, but he's you know, British.
Is he?
In Snatch, yeah.
I couldn't remember that. You can't understand a word he's saying anyway in that movie.
I mean, they're obviously in England, right?
Yes.
And you think that of the lifestyle that Brad Pitt leads in that, he's not like a world traveler who happens to be there in his...
Could he not be Scottish? Could he not be Irish? I guess Guy Ritchie movies, they've got...
Okay, he could be those things, I guess.
Could
that's
he be
true.
Welsh?
Yes. Yes, maybe that's the most likely one. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's what I'm imagining.
Okay, I'm glad we broke that down.
That was important to understand why Ben Heath calls with bottom pair.
Right.
So he does, because he's Brad Pitt and Snatch.
It's one of those where you call and you're like, I'm folding a lot of turns.
Yeah.
But okay, it's only two blinds. It's fine.
175K in the pot.
Yep.
He's not going to fold the turn. I'll tell you that much. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's the seven of diamonds.
Hello!
Yeah, hello. All right.
That's kind of unlucky for Adrian that the two outer comes in where now Adrian's like, oh, I actually have something.
Yeah, but is it something, man?
He's drawing dead, too.
Yeah, he is. He is drawing dead. I mean, he could chop if a king or a queen comes.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Is there any reason...
Or any big card. Any big card will chop it. An ace will chop it as
well. That is not
true.
You
are very right. It needs to be a king or a queen.
This is another thing that's going to
go back and rewind. I didn't say that.
Live on the air forever.
No, you're right. I got that wrong.
That's okay. Everybody does it. All right. So, is there any reason to bet now as Mateos?
Okay. Well, the only thing we're going to fold out is, like, in theory, if we bet big enough, is like Jack 10.
Maybe we could fold out Jack 10, yeah.
Jack 10 sometimes going to raise pre and may not fold anyway because it's in position. It also could take an aggressive action against us rather than fold.
Yeah.
Feels like a check is really in order here. We don't want to fold out a six necessarily.
Which we almost certainly would with a big bet.
You would think a lot of times we're going to fold that out, and we're never going to fold out a king and probably not a queen. So a bet doesn't make a lot of sense here. And there doesn't seem to be that much stuff just rando in the middle stuff unless, like, folding out Jack 9 would be nice right now.
Yeah.
Because there's a reasonable amount of equity, but there isn't that much of it. And we bet 50K, in theory, maybe even to fold that out on the flop? Probably not. We're never folding that on the flop.
Don't think so.
And again, we don't even know for sure if it's folding. It probably is folding if we were to bet. But that's it. We're just folding out a few gutters. Everything else, there's not a lot of value. It feels like we have to check.
Yeah, it's a full rainbow board now, by the way, so there's no backdoor flush draw that came.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he is going to check. Do you think it would have been wise to continue if it were a brick turn, like a deuce, with his seven high? Or is maybe the 50K bet, maybe built into that is that he doesn't feel the need to continue when called?
I think he's only supposed to continue if he picks up equity in some way. So he picks up a gutter or a flush draw, he's supposed to continue. That way, otherwise he's just continuing way too much.
Yeah, picks up equity with a draw, not with a pair.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, because a seven for sure he's checking. I don't know what he's doing with the three. A three is probably losing anyway. Maybe he decides to bet that.
Just to fold out the sixes?
To take a shot at a six.
Yeah.
Maybe. But maybe not. Maybe he thinks, like, I can't really get a six to fold when a three comes, maybe. Because it's Ben. Maybe I can't fold Ben out. I don't know.
I would think a six can fold a decent amount.
You'd have to consider it, right? Because, like, it's one of the worst hands you're going to have as Ben. Yeah, so, like, a heart is a great card. So that's going to give you a fair amount of shots on the turn. Bluffs on the turn anyway, right? So I don't think we should be just betting everything with this hand. We have to have a lot of give-ups, especially against a good player who's going to hold on against us.
Yep. Well, Mateos is going to check.
Yeah, good.
Of course, he turned a seven. And, of course, Heath turned two pair. So this feels like a pretty obvious bet.
Absolutely. Like, you're like, cool, let's get value out of a queen.
Yeah.
Maybe a king once in a while, like a weak king or a queen or whatever.
Yeah, I could see Mateos checking a king sometimes in the turn, especially when he bets 50K on the flop.
Yeah, bad king especially, right?
Yep. How much do you want to bet as Heath?
Okay, so how much is in the pot, sir? 175?
Yeah.
Well, this is where traditionally we size it up on the turn, right? And this way we can charge all straight draws.
And we have to base our bet size on tradition.
Well, I'm saying this
British tradition.
I mean, I can make a lot of jokes that would piss off a lot of British people.
Great.
Right, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to show...
They're not Australians, I guess. You have to actually show some respect.
or Italians. Yeah. Mateos was so lucky he's not Italian.
Yeah, he's very lucky.
Because he'd be catching it
now. Oh, yeah, he'd be getting it.
Oh, man, so much flack. Yeah. All sides. Yeah, okay, you're right. Tradition shouldn't be a reason why we do it. But like, sizing up the turn generally makes sense, right? Because we don't want to continue to give cheap cards.
Yeah.
And also now the equity changes where, like, if you're up against a big draw on the flop, that hand could put a lot of chips in because it still has a lot of equity, mm-hmm. right? Like, even if it's just like Jack 10, it's got a lot of, it's got two cards to come. With one card to come, the equity falls off the cliff a fair amount, right? Gets cut in half. So that's another reason to charge more now and charge less on the flop. Right?
Because you're unable to get them to fold on the flop anyway with
exactly.
a bigger one.
Yeah. They're, and they may be incentivized to take aggressive actions against you on the flop. But on the turn, they're much less likely to do that. Not to say they would never do it. Of course, they'll do it sometimes. But
this is why, by tradition, I was kind of wondering if it's true that if you're not the previous aggressor, that that's the case, that the sizing up. Because it's a lot more rare that Mateos is going to show up with a draw here than Heath would.
I agree.
Because Mateos would likely have continued betting with a draw.
Let's say Mateos has a hand like Ace-Jack, though.
Okay.
So if he's the guy who can have Ace-Jack.
Yeah.
He would bet the flop a fair amount of the time. Not always. He might check it too, but he could bet it mm-hmm. pretty reasonably. He might check the turn with a hand as good as Ace-Jack too, where he's like, eh, it's sort of a weird, like,
maybe
I'm probably losing, but I'm not definitely losing. We don't want to make it so a hand like Ace-Jack can just call cheaply. Right now, when we have two pair, it's not as bad. But in general, we would want to charge a hand like Ace-Jack and essentially fold it out.
Yeah.
But that's the only obvious draw I can come up with that could really be here and play like this.
Right? Well, Ace-10 would be the same.
What'd you say?
Ace-10 would be the same.
Yes, of course it would.
Yeah. But of course Mateos is sometimes just going to bet those on the turn himself.
He is. He is, for sure. And honestly, like, Mateos, if we bet tiny enough on the turn, like, even a hand like Jack-9, which may have bet the flop and may be like, I'm just going to bail, like, enough, whatever. If we bet small enough, he might feel obligated to call. But if we bet big enough, it's just going to be an easy fold, right? I mean, you have to bet really small. But we could. People do that.
Not Ben Heath. He's going to go with tradition. He's going to bet 140K into 175.
That's pretty normal these
pretty
days,
chunky.
Right?
Pretty chunky.
Pretty regular.
All right, so this is pretty big, actually. I think this is a little bigger than tradition dictates. It, you know, I was thinking more like 75% of pot for turn sizing a lot of the time.
So, I mean, it is 75% of... No, it's not. It's 80% of pot.
Yeah. It's okay. A little bigger.
It's 5% more, I mean.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't matter. 5% doesn't matter.
It's not that different, is all I'm saying. So if you bet 133, you'd feel like this is totally right on.
Oh, yeah, 5% of the population died. No big deal. It's only 5%.
I wouldn't think it was a big deal.
Well, you were one of them.
Well, then I wouldn't think at all.
Wow.
So I guess I got you.
Wow, I can't believe you said that.
Checkmate.
What is this, the Queen's Gambit?
It's not chess, so it's not the Queen's Gambit.
Oh, it's poker.
This is poker.
This is rounders.
The gentleman's game.
Yeah. All right. So Heath puts 140K. Okay.
Yeah.
Mateos's line is like expected to be check call, but should it be check call? I mean, we picked up showdown value.
You did.
This is a big bet, and it's a big chunk of our stack. We started with 640.
Well, we started with, yeah, that's a good point. We started with what, 25 blinds here?
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, the problem is we know Ben is going to bet this much, and this is one of the reasons why Ben does it, right? Bets this size is because Ben's floating a lot on the flop with gutters and stuff like that. We said he's calling all jack nines, all nine tens, all that stuff. And one of the reasons why he does it is not just to hit, but because when Mateos checks the turn, he's going to bet enough to fold out Mateos on a bunch of stuff, like a seven and a six. Like, this is, I think it's specifically attacking a six a lot of the time with a gutter. And so you need to size it up to do that, right? You don't want to make it easy for the six to call.
Yeah.
So now that we hit the seven, it's close. It's close, right?
It sucks. I mean, if you're not against Ben Heath, if you're in your local card room, fold a lot of the time.
Of course you just fold.
Yeah.
Against most players, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would be insane to fold even in this spot, this high roller.
When we're this short, if we were deeper, of course, this is a pretty straightforward call, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Against a guy like Ben Heath.
Yeah.
Here, it's tough. It's tough. This was like... I guess we would have preferred to hit like the four of hearts on the turn, right? Pick up a gutter and a straight draw, and then we can barrel away.
Flush draw.
Well, it would be a straight draw with our gutter. But yes, a straight draw and a flush draw. We pick up a combo draw, barrel away with our 30% some odd equity, and maybe even fire the river. We'll see, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But we don't get that. That's not what they gave us. We're like Sammy Farah. If I had aces, Phil, I would have played aces, but she gave me king seven. What do you want me to do? I got to play it.
Right.
Same as far out logic right there.
You have to play it.
Yeah. So what do you think about this? So he does call.
Yeah.
And it's at best close.
Right. Because, I mean, it doesn't seem that frequent that Ben Heath is going to shut down on the river with whatever he has. Maybe he will shut down after this bet size.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, if we're Adrian and we're check calling kings, Then we can also check call. Like, so we have better hands too, so that way that we're going to call the river with. We need to have some hands that we call the river, the turn with, and fold the river.
Yeah.
So maybe this is one of those.
Maybe.
Maybe we feel like, well, we're check calling kings on turns and rivers, or bad kings on turns and rivers. That means we got to check call some of our queens also, because we have better hands than those as well. But like, and then maybe we have to call with a few of our sevens, he's thinking, something like that. I don't know. This I'm just really struggling to come up with anything.
Yeah.
And we don't block anything with the 7-3 that way, like a straight draw.
Right.
Any of the straight draws. So maybe that's good. Isn't a 9-10 or jack in our hand that maybe we'd be more interested in folding?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm stretching hard. It wouldn't. I feel like he probably should fold.
Yeah, I agree.
But these are reasons to call. Is we need to have some things to check fold the river if he bets again.
Yeah.
So that way, so we can be balanced. And we don't block the straight draws at all.
Okay.
That's all I got.
It's not bad.
It's weird because it feels like, I mean, we came with a possible reason why he bets so much on the flop, and we came with a possible reason why he's check calling the turn. Both of them still feel like, meh, yeah, questionable.
It does. But he calls.
Okay.
You're going to need to call a...
animal expert?
A zoologist.
Yeah, animal expert.
When you sign up for nitro betting, because you're going to be like, did I just get mauled by a leopard? I got to know. Wait,
so when you sign up for nitro betting... you're not sure if you got mauled by a leopard.
You know you got mauled by a big cat. But
you're
you
not sure which big cat. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, a puma and a mountain lion and a jaguar, all the same animal. Did you know that?
I don't think a jaguar is.
It is. And yet it is.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's weird, right? You wouldn't think that. All the same. You're looking it up. That's
how
little you believe me.
I'm going to...
you'll see I'm right.
Bullshit detect you.
Yeah.
You'll puma, see I'm right. Mountain lion.
Jaguar. It's weird.
Are you sure you don't mean cougar?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you mean cougar because jaguars are definitely not
they're
the same.
They're spotted, right?
Yeah, jaguars
and pumas are like black.
Yeah, jaguars are different.
Okay. Did I mean cougar?
Yes, I think you did.
It's still pretty good. Still a pretty great fact, and I'm going to give myself
hold on.
Lots of points for it.
Mountain lion. puma.
This was an ad for nitro betting at one point.
It it's not.
Now turned into animals.
Okay, mountain lion, puma, and cougar are the same thing.
Okay, so I was pretty close.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'm going to take that as a win.
Jaguars are wildly different, though.
They're... yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm picturing a jaguar just from the Jacksonville Jaguars thing, and I'm like, that is definitely not a puma. So I agree with you that that was just incorrect.
Yeah.
I mean, I read that to give myself a little bit of, like, 20 years ago, and I've never said it, and it just, like, I just pulled it out. So, come on. Like, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I'm like Meatloaf over here.
You definitely...
dead and famous.
That's you. By the time this podcast comes out, it's possible.
Both. Both things could be possible. Yeah.
Anyway.
As long as I get both, I don't care.
Anyway, so you're going to have to call the zoologist.
Right.
Because of the mauling that occurred.
Because
just as soon as you click that link, you don't know what angle it's coming from.
Is it bad, though? Because getting mauled is by a big cat.
Oh, yeah. You
bad.
Would think it's bad.
I would.
But the amount of money you get by getting mauled when you sue the zoo, it's phenomenal.
I mean, this is not financial advice, but if you throw yourself into, like, the gorilla enclosure in a zoo, and they don't kill you, the gorillas don't kill you.
You might be able to sue somebody.
You have a shot. I mean, you would be able to sue them. I don't know if it would be successful because if they probably have video of you throwing yourself in and it wouldn't be negligence in any way. But you can take that shot.
And this is the type of thing we're talking about with nitro betting.
Don't do it, though, what I just said.
No,
don't do that. Do the nitro betting thing. Please don't put yourself in an animal enclosure, which could kill you. That would be bad. Well, and I would feel I'd feel bad for Grant for allowing
Jonathan
me to say that.
Jonathan has always said, I want to impact lives with this podcast.
I do. If it changed one life, if one person dies because of this podcast, it'd been worth it. You know?
Right, congratulations, man. You're really killing it. literally.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, thanks. Nitro betting. There is a link in the description. Even if you signed up for Nitrogen Sports, use that link to sign up for Nitro Betting. It's a different site, same people.
Right.
But you have to sign up again to get access to our cool promotions like our monthly tournament. So we would like to see you there.
You didn't even mention the 100% sign-up bonus up to 25 millibits.
I mean, that's a big deal.
For poker, casino games, and for sports betting, holy moly, use the link in the description. Get yourself some of that sweet, sweet cash, baby.
You want the money, you get in there.
You got to want something to get something.
That's what they say on Nitro Betting, which also, you know, they have good sports betting stuff going on. They have a lot of brackets, not just March Madness brackets, but of course they do have March Madness brackets as well.
Right.
Which is important because sometimes they give away free March Madness bracket entries to Poker Guys listeners, there are actual payouts on those things. So
that's good.
Pretty sweet, along with, you know, the poker and the casino games and the sports betting.
We'll see you there.
We'll see you there if you survive the mauling.
Yeah, if you don't.
If you don't, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. It's all the same to you.
What's the difference? Yeah. Just click the button. Don't be a coward.
So you get... It's not an actual mauling by a big cat. You just think you'll have been mauled by a big cat, and you're not sure.
Right, that's what the lawyers told us to say.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Nitro betting.
I hope
you might survive the sign-up
experience. Before you click the link, you should look up the number for a zoologist, because you're going to be a little disoriented after the mauling.
To be clear, not like someone with medical training, a zoologist.
Yeah,
because the EMT is going to be like, I can't help this guy if I don't know what kind of animal did this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The zoologist. Yeah. That's what you need.
Good.
We're working on a pilot. It's a zoologist-related pilot.
I love that idea. Yep.
It's gonna be very popular. You won't hear from us again. We'll be retired on an island. All right, so Mateos is called the turn. Check called the turn with the 7-3 of hearts, king of hearts, queen of clubs, six of spades, seven of diamonds board.
Okay.
Ben Heath has bottom two pair, 7-6 off, 455K in the pot. Mateos only has 435 back.
Oh snap.
River's the 10 of hearts.
Yep. Okay.
Pretty coordinated. Although neither player rates to have ace, jack, or jack nine at this point.
That is correct. Neither player rates to have that. Ben Heath is the guy who can have it, actually, if anyone has Jack 9.
Yes.
Not Ace Jack, but he can have Jack 9.
He can. He can have Jack 9, I guess.
He's the only guy who can have a straight, though.
Yes, I agree with that. Okay. It doesn't complete as many two pairs as a swath of the range as it would in other cases when they weren't blind versus blind in a limp pot. But blind versus blind in a limp pot, there's so many random kings and queens that it's not as big of a part of their range as it would otherwise be.
Mm-hmm.
So the two-pair question is not a huge deal.
Right.
Here's something that happens, and this is just...
Get ready.
This is like a Jaguar is a Puma, man. Guess what? You were wrong all along.
Yeah.
Mateos just goes ahead and donk shoves.
I mean,
for 435K and a 455.
Bananas. What the hell just happened in this hand?
This is that's our job to figure out, and I wish it wasn't right now, because I don't get what Adrian Mateos thinks is happening here.
So he thinks, he's decided, after he check called the turn, the 10 comes and he now thinks like, oh, I can't win.
Is he putting Heath on exactly Jack 10? He's like, I got to fold out Jack 10.
I don't know why he would put Heath on it. Like, Heath is sometimes going to attack him on the flop.
Right, and good players don't ever put their opponent on an exact hand.
Right, you put him on a number of range.
A number of range.
You know what I mean, a number of hands in a range. Yeah. And Jack 10 could be part of that. That's possible. Ben, he's sometimes going to raise that pre-flop, sometimes going to raise that on the flop, but sometimes he's going to play it just the way he did.
Yes.
Sure. So, okay, we could successfully fold out Jack 10.
Or 10-9.
Or 10-9.
That's it, right? Like that's
if Ben had a queen, he's going to fold now. If Ben had a king, he's
going
to fold.
Would Ben take this exact line with a queen, though? Would he bet the turn?
He might bet the turn.
And do you think he's going to have the same sizing with everything, or is he going to split sizings? Because it feels like 140K with a queen feels like, in practice, not exactly...
Game theory disaster.
Yeah, it's not really a great play.
Yeah, that is a fair point. A king makes so much more sense to bet than a queen.
Yeah.
Maybe a good queen we could bet here sometimes on the turn.
I feel like a queen, if betting, is just going to bet smaller.
Yeah, you're probably right. The thing is, of course, you have to be balanced, too.
Right, but you just have other things that you bet smaller, too.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not a problem.
Agreed. If Ben has a raggedy king, which he can have,
okay,
is it folding? Let's start with that.
I don't know.
I think probably.
Let's rewind a little bit.
Okay.
What is Mateos representing?
A weird two-pair.
Yeah, like...
Two pair. Queen 10. King 10.
Yeah, King 10 or Queen 10.
I don't know what else it could be. Would he shove 10-7?
Maybe.
Just jam 10-7 out of nowhere? It is a pot-sized bet. That's the good news. What's he trying to get called by? A bad king.
Yeah.
It's possible.
But in practice, he's trying to fold out a bad king.
Right.
Well, I mean, I guess you're just asking, will he fold out a bad king?
Right.
And should Heath fold a bad king?
10-7 feels like pretty thin.
Yeah.
Right? Queen 10 is the next one that makes sense based on this line, I guess. Queen 10 makes the most sense, actually, right?
Queen 10 or maybe Queen 7?
Queen 7 often isn't going to just check call the turn.
Yeah.
Often it's just going to keep going. Sometimes it might, but this is such a weird line to take with Queen 7.
It's a weird line to take with 7-3, too.
You would think Queen 7 is probably check-raising the turn if it decides to check the
turn.
Yeah,
just check-shove, basically.
Because, like, you know, yeah, bad things can happen, and if you get called, you're still ahead a lot, and so on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Queen 10, King 10. Maybe if he held on with 6-10 on the turn, but he might just fold that.
He might just fold that. And again, I'm not sure if he's even shoving it. I'm not sure he's shoving 7-10.
Right.
Even less so, sure he's shoving 6-10. This is a really weird story.
It is.
Super, super weird.
It really feels like Queen 10 is the one, right? The most likely hand.
And it's just weird to suddenly shove it anyway. Like, think about what we're doing. We're taking away... Oh, okay. One reason why you shove Queen 10 is because the gutters that Ben has that didn't make a straight are checking back now, right?
Oh, because there are 10?
Right. But wait, they're not... Are they calling?
No, a 10's not calling.
So what's the point? Who cares if they check back? Yeah, that doesn't matter. Don't we want to give Ben a chance to have... The thing is, Ben doesn't have very many bluffs at all, right?
Not anymore, not when the 10 hits.
Right. So Ben's got a lot of checkbacks. Mm-hmm. So what? If they're going to fold, who cares if we shove with Queen 10? How does that help us?
So you think it's a bad story?
I almost want to give Ben a chance to turn like a bad one pair into a bluff rather than... I don't know if he's going to do that either on this, like when it's blind versus blind. He may not feel like he needs to. I mean, he did get called 140K on the turn.
Yeah.
I don't understand what Mateos is really supposed to have. Like, I don't know if Queen 10, okay, but like, I don't know if I really buy it. King 10 bets the turn a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. It's also weird to shove. At least I can come up with reasons why King 10 could shove, right? Because King 10 can get called by, there's more two pair combos that call. And there's almost no, and there's no two pair combos that beat us that Ben can reasonably have, i.e. King Queen isn't there.
It feels like a weird time to take this line when it feels, maybe we're wrong about the way Mateos played the hand, but it feels like Mateos can't have a straight and Heath can. So exactly. That seems like a weird time to play a bluff like
it's
this.
It's really hard to put Mateos on ace-jack because he check-called the turn, jack-nine because he check-called the turn.
Yeah. But Heath could have the jack-nine at least.
So we're Ben Heath, and maybe I'm jumping too quickly here. We've got these two pair with 7-6. We've got bottom two. What bluffs are there?
I mean, to Mateos' credit, it's hard to think of bluffs.
It's hard to think of value or bluffs. He's done this again, this thing where it's like, I don't know what he can have.
Yeah. So I guess you just have to use distribution.
I guess, yeah.
So where do we fit? I think we're pretty high.
I think we are too. I mean,
I don't think we have
that many two pair hands, right?
No, we don't have King Queen.
Nope. We may not have King 10.
Probably don't have King 6.
We may not have Queen 10. Probably not. Because sometimes we'll have those things, but not that often.
Yeah.
We don't have any sets at all. We don't have ace jack.
We might have all of the combos of jack nine.
Yep.
Ahead of us.
Jack nine is there.
This might be the only two pair combo we play this way, though.
Because king six might even be a raise pre, you're saying.
Or on the flop. There's a king and a six on the flop.
Oh, geez. You're right. Yeah. You're right. King seven. What about king seven? There you go.
Okay, king seven.
But king, okay, cool. That's one other two pair, right?
King 7, Queen 7, and 6 7. Okay, those are the ones that make sense.
We can have 10 6, but we might have checked that on the turn.
I think we would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is King 7, Queen 7, and 6 7 all make some sense?
And we can have Jack 9. Those are the hands that are better than this. What are the hands that are worse? Well, we can have lots of queens and lots of kings.
Lots of tens.
Lots of tens.
9 10 and Jack 10.
Wow. So distribution says we have to call, right?
When it's Adrian Mateos? Yeah, I think so.
But you're like, I don't really know how I win, but I don't know how I lose either, because I don't understand what the fuck is going on.
So that's why I use distribution.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't understand either.
Ben calls pretty quickly, 20 seconds or so.
Yeah. So let's ask this question before we wrap this analysis up. Is this a good combo to choose this bluff line as Mateos? Like, we don't really know what he's doing, and it's hard to put him on a hand, so... We know what exact hand he has. Is there any good reason to use this hand as a bluff?
I can't think of one, really. I mean, we don't block the Jack 10 and 10 nines, but we also don't block Jack 9. So there's a few more combos of Jack 10, 10 9. There's 24 versus 16 combos of Jack 9, but like, okay.
Well, here's, I think I did come up with something. Maybe a 7 is a good bluff card because we were just outlining Heath's range of hands that are better than,
yeah,
than this
king
one.
King 7,
Queen 7, 6, 7.
Right.
You would expect them all to take this line, right? And their value that you expect to get called by. Right, and you block all of those, and those are the most likely two pair combos because you didn't raise the flop.
Right, that's true. Actually,
so
that's
maybe
true.
A seven is the best bluff card. Is it possible?
Wow, it's possible. That's cool.
Holy shit, Mateos just that good? I mean, that makes more sense than Mateos is just a spewy player who doesn't know what he's doing. Obviously,
yeah. Now, if you're here with as Ben Heath, we have a seven, so we actually block him having the best bluff card.
Right.
Now, can we think that far ahead?
I don't know.
That's levels upon levels. But like, holy shit. Of course, if we don't have a seven in our hand, like having a seven in our hand makes it easier to call, of course, too. So it's a weird thing. But also we block the thing that he would want to be blocking.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That may be too many levels.
Vet me on that theory I just came up with, because I just spouted
it
out as soon as I thought
reasonable.
Of it.
It sounded reasonable to me.
Okay.
That, like, we're looking for bluffs here. Yeah. We want to have some bluff shoves, apparently.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't really know if we even do, because, again, I'm not sure we're doing this for value out of nowhere with either. I guess there's something. Otherwise, Mateos wouldn't do this completely unbalanced.
So it's possible that this is a bad idea in general.
Yeah.
But maybe he has the exact right hand if you're going to have bluffs. Is to have any seven.
Right. Now that we're here, we're like, oh, that 10A beats us most of the time. We're almost always losing now. And we can beat a six, except a six may not bet the turn.
Unlikely to.
Yeah. And then this blocks the two pair combos that could really be here reasonably.
Yeah.
The best. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I want to block.
I really hope he doesn't have Jack 9 or one of the things that I block.
Right.
Yeah.
That's at least reasonable sounding to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know,
does that mean we'd also, like, if we had 7-jack and 7-9, we'd feel similarly because we're blocking the straight?
That would be maybe the best combos, 7-jack and 7-9.
Well, we block those down from 16 to 12. By having a 7, we block, I think, the more two-pair combos down.
Right, I'm saying having both a 7 and a jack or...
Oh,
seven.
Of course we get both. Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, 7-9 and 7-jack would be the best bluff combos.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. And then not having a 10 or no, but we, yeah, I'm sorry, I got caught up in the, do we want to block the straight draws or not? Like we sort of don't.
We do, because the straights get there. Oh, you mean the straight draws that are
the straight
just
draws pairs. That make a 10 though, don't get there. You know, right. Like 9, 10 and Jack 10, there's more combos with that than Jack 9. There's 24 of those versus 12 or 16, excuse me. Right. So wouldn't we?
No, I think
so. Unblocking that is probably good.
I think it still outweighs, blocking the straight still outweighs that because.
Yeah.
It's important to block that as far as
sure
combos are concerned.
Sure.
We want to block the most combos that can snap call, right?
Okay. Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. Okay. So maybe, yeah. So 7-7 jack is amazing.
Yeah.
To have. 7-9 is really great too.
Yeah. I think so. And any 7 is among the best bluff combo.
Right. Wow. Imagine figuring that out in real time. Holy moly.
I assume that's what happened.
Yeah.
Because Mateos is so good.
Yeah.
But it didn't work at all. He's out of the tournament.
Heath calls quickly because he's like, hey, guess what? This is like the fourth best combo.
Yeah, I mean,
fourth best hand I can have.
He makes the face, you know, the face that you're supposed to make when you're like, I didn't want you to do that, you know?
He's like, but the cards demand I call. Yeah. So I call and we'll see what happens.
He just had to give himself the 20 seconds to make sure he was right that the cards demanded he called.
I feel like in the old days in poker, like back before math and solvers and all those things, before math was invented.
Yeah.
People didn't really call on the river unless they knew they were going to win. And now it's like, I know I lose a lot. And
right.
I call. And which is, of course, correct.
Yes.
But like how that's changed so dramatically. It's like you look at a man, you stare at him, and you figure out if he has it or not. And then you call or fold. And you're like, you know, and then like it's weird because you get this feedback loop of like, well, when I call, I win. So it feels good. So you think you're doing it right, but you're missing all these out. You're getting yourself bluffed constantly, assuming there are bluffers in your game, right? Obviously, if not, then you shouldn't be thinking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now we're at this place where you're just like, and coming from a limit hold'em background, as I do, where you're always getting an insane price on the river to call, you just call and lose all the time, and you know it. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I hope this works once or twice a night where I make this call where I can only beat a bluff in this spot where the person's repping strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all I need. One or two of these pots a night, I'm good. And you just mostly lose.
I'm just kind of caught up in like if the thing that I came up with on why Mateos chose this as a bluff is true, mm-hmm. and he did that in real time, it's like so many levels above me as a poker player. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. Now, if he did it in real time, it's because he's been thinking about this already.
Yeah.
Right? So now we're starting to think about it.
Right.
So maybe we'll be able to do it in real time or faster in the future. And, you know,
it's hard for us to get the reps that he gets. You know, you have to be playing against these types of players in order to make these plays even make sense at all.
Of course, you're right. Of course, you're right. No, it'll only be in spots like this where this would have any real value, I would assume.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, still, you want to have good, better blockers if you're bluffing anyway against everybody.
But in the fields, in the $1,500 fields we play in, there's no need to take lines like this pretty much ever.
Rarely. But again, if you're going to be, there are times when I bluff the river, I've certainly done that in $1,500 events in the World Series, for example. I could think of.
You'd rather have the good blockers than not.
Yeah. And I would say that was not a consideration back in the day at all. It was just like, I think I can get him to fold, so I'm going to shove now, or I'm going to bet big or whatever. And I'm repping this kind of a hand. And that generally has worked in the past because people are tighter in the World Series anyway. I'm sure I've done very well on that, but I don't think I was thinking about blockers at that point, you know, in terms of blocking what's going to call me and what isn't. So that makes it better.
Yeah. Well, okay, cool. Cool if that's true.
Yeah.
But anyway, didn't work, but let's see what the solver said. Did the solver want this to happen? Let's find out.
Let's find out.
It's Adrian Mateos. It's Ben Heath. It's Pio Solver in the middle.
Yes.
Wesley Cannon's going to divine the truth from Pio Solver. Maybe not the truth, but Pio's wishes.
Do you think Wesley Cannon ever American Pio's that thing? If you know what I'm saying.
That is for another video or podcast.
Okay, I'm just, you know.
If you want to hear about that, check out Joe Rogan's latest show.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay.
Adrian Mateos, on the flop. Pio doesn't like it. He's supposed to check most of his range, including this hand.
Mm.
But guess what Mateos does? He bets. He's like, you know what? I don't care about what the robots say.
I'm a man.
I'm Adrian Mateos.
Do I not bleed when you cut me?
I'm made of flesh.
Yeah.
Ben Heath should mostly call this hand. He can do a little bit of raising, I suppose, for equity denial.
Mm.
Sure. Get to the turn.
Fine.
Got a definite check for Mateos, according to Pio. So Mateos does it right. It's going to be smooth sailing for him the rest of the way, Pio-wise. I'm sure of it.
Never a good sign when Grant says that.
Of course, with the two pair, it's an easy bet for Heath. Pio loves it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Mateos is supposed to fold this hand 100% of the time.
I mean, it's so interesting, isn't it? You improve, and you're still supposed to fold. That's rough.
It's a little bit rough. 8-7 suited is his weakest call.
Mm.
So he's close, at least.
How about that?
He's kind of close.
Not close enough.
No. Nope.
And in fact, he's drawing dead.
Well, yeah. Here
so
we go.
So that's part of it, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Here's the river, all right?
Okay.
Because this is the real stuff here, right? The river where Mateos does the shove, and we had our whole complicated theory about why he might do that.
Oh, my God, so complicated.
How is the best possible bluff, etc.
Blah, blah, blah.
Pio's like, shut the hell up, flesh bag.
Wow.
Yeah, this is what Wesley had to say. This is a quote from Wesley.
Okay.
About Mateos on the river. You should be leading 0.04% of hands for this sizing on the river. I literally can't even find where the 0.04 comes from. This seems like a blunder, and with his exact hand, he is lighting about 53,000 chips on fire with his bluff.
Wow.
Strong words from the solver.
And Mateos only moves in for 435,000, so 53K is a lot of chips to be lighting on fire.
So Pio's not like, the seven blocker is great. I love that idea a lot. It's wonderful.
I was like, it's time for us to rise up against the humans when they're doing stuff like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for Ben Heath, which Pio loves the call. So, of course.
Well, he's got the hair. Ben the Hair Heath.
Yep, that's what they call him. Hey, Pio liked everything Ben Heath did.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Ben. You win the Pio Award. We'll see you in Oslo in November for the ceremony.
Yep. The Pio Award.
Yeah, bring a tuxedo.
Music is my sunlight, and all I need is one mic. And I can show every single MC how it's done right. Every time I come by, I'm bound to leave them tongue-tied. I'm sipping on liquor, a quitter is what I'm not. We got one life, and I took a minor break, but I'm back to claim the throne. I'm gonna be traveling the globe, we still have time to make it home.